Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
So this is CBS Eye on the World. I'm with Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs. We go to Nigeria. The news from Nigeria. This is Bloomberg. Investors want action from President Bola Tinubu in Nigeria. This week will set a tone for what the government has in store. Tinubu and his top economic officials used the two-day Nigerian Economic Summit to lay out their plans for Africa's biggest economy. This is the reporter, Bloomberg's Next Africa, joined hundreds of business executives, state officials, and other observers in a packed conference hall at the largest hotel in the capital, Abuja, to hear what the next fix is to a signature reform, the overhaul of the foreign exchange regime. Gregory, Nigeria is not only the most populous state and the potentially the largest economy in all of Africa, it's also the leader of ECOWAS. So while domestic concerns are interesting, also its ability to lead ECOWAS, given those series of coups and upsets and challenges and jihadists I mentioned before. And recently you've been reporting that there are legitimacy questions about President Tinubu. Nonetheless, he's carrying on with economic reform. Is this to distract outside investors from the troubles he has? How to read this, Gregory?
Well, certainly President Tinubu has to carry on business as usual and do what economic work he can and engage what foreign investors he can. The reality is that he is really facing now the imminent Supreme Court review of the February 25th election. This is critical because he's been attempting to gag all public debate on this. He's attempted to use U.S. legal mechanisms to stop U.S. institutions, including the FBI, CIA, Internal Revenue, and Drug Enforcement Agency, from releasing files on him, which are absolutely damning to him and show that he did not state correctly his name, date of birth, his educational qualification, and so on his application to run for the presidency. So it's all intertwined, but there's a campaign now which is gaining traction to say that if the Supreme Court doesn't follow the basic constitution on the February 25th elections, which show in a prima facie case that President Tinubu did not win a first-round victory in the election, then there'll be severe ramifications within the civil sector. So this is an unprecedented situation for Ethiopia to find itself in, and the military is reluctant to get involved in any way, and maybe they won't even get involved in trying to suppress civil unrest if this doesn't go well. We know that people around President Tinubu have been attempting to put pressure on the seven Supreme Court justices who will try this case because the case has been brought by the two nominally losing candidates in the presidential election, namely former Vice President Atiku Abubakar and the Labour Party candidate Peter Obi. So the reality is that there's a serious case to be answered. President Tinubu is not answering it through, political debate. He's not prepared to allow discussion of the facts, and he's trying to suppress the facts. So this is going to play out very badly over the coming weeks in Nigeria. So regardless of these economic summits that he's holding and the like, the reality is that something is going to have to be done to make sure that the presidency of Nigeria is legitimized in some fashion.
The neighborhood is troubled, Gregory, and I read from Reuters Brussels. European Union countries adopted a framework to impose sanctions on members of a junta that seized power in Niger, neighboring Nigeria, in July. The new framework will allow the EU to sanction individuals and entities responsible for actions that threaten the peace, stability, and security of Niger, undermine the constitutional order, or constitute serious violations to human rights or international humanitarian law. There's a quandary here, because at the same time, there's news that the U.S. is looking to re-engage the junta in Niamey. Now, this is next door to Nigeria. That doesn't make it Nigeria's business. But Nigeria is the leader of ECOWAS. Has ECOWAS pulled back from offering a solution as the French forces leave, as Francafrique turns to either the jihad or military coups?
Well, it's not a choice strictly between jihads or military coups. It's also a choice between, ineffective governance or corrupt governance, military coups, jihadists, or the new South trading bloc, which includes BRICS and the like. The reality is that the United States has very wisely kept its head down on this and not withdrawn its forces, because they're essential not only to the counter-jihadist forces in the region, they're also the way in which the U.S. can keep a presence in the region, because France has been forced out, but what we have there are the Russian and Turkish private military corporations in there, and also in Mali and Burkina Faso, also members of ECOWAS. Now, the interesting thing is that, as we've discussed, Niger is basically to the northwest of Nigeria, and the population of Niger are basically Hausa and Fulani people, and they speak Hausa. The people of the northwest of Ethiopia, Nigeria, are Hausa Fulani people. It's Hausa speaking. Their old tribal kingdoms cross the border between Niger and Nigeria, and there's no way that the population will tolerate an ECOWAS army coming across the border from Nigeria to overturn the coup in Niger. So that's the bottom line. So the bold, blustering comments out of President Tinubu, as head of ECOWAS at the moment, that ECOWAS was not going to stand for this Niger coup, have quietly been left to basically fade away, because Nigeria and ECOWAS cannot really engage in a military action against Niger or Mali or Burkina Faso, because they've all, by the way, said that they would act in harmony if there was an ECOWAS attempt to overturn their respective coups. And as a result, you've got other pseudo-coups like the illegal or the manipulated election in nearby Sierra Leone, also a member of ECOWAS, which have been tolerated because nobody wants to take up the cudgel there to restore democracy, if you like. So you've got a situation where ECOWAS has become moribund. The situation in Nigeria itself will not be restored to normal until the Supreme Court and the National Assembly are satisfied that the presidential elections have been corrected in some form. And that could be calling for a runoff election between the nominal first past the post winner in February, that's President Tinubu, and the second runner-up, which was Atiku Abubakar. So you'd have a runoff, which should have been the call of the Independent Nigerian Electoral Commission in February. The other thing is to look at the evidence of the corruption and forgery and fraud in Mr. Tinubu's application for the election, which might disqualify him as a candidate altogether, which would mean you'd have to either give the election to the second runner, which was Atiku Abubakar, or call yet another round of complete elections to be held. So there are all these options hanging out there. It's full of uncertainty, and in the meantime, what we see is the United States is actually playing a very good stabilizing role in Niger by staying in the field to compete with the Islamist groups. The Nigerian military is doing a good job of just getting on with its job. It's got its own problems, but at least it's getting on with its job of fighting the Boko Haram and Islamic State West Africa and so on, and not taking an interest in the political situation inside Nigeria. So there are things happening, and it's but it's the next couple of months are going to be very interesting.
I'm told, Gregory, that Somalia is in danger of becoming an Islamic Republic, but in this area, Francafrique, Mali is very much likely to be the next Islamic Republic in the area. Do you agree with that? It's just, I've been reading about it. It's a profoundly troubled country overrun by jihadists.
It is, but it doesn't necessarily have to end up as an isolated Islamic Republic. Yes, there are pressures on the leaders there to undertake that. And maybe the new round of negotiations needs to be undertaken by somebody other than France, because there has been a backlash in a number of the Francophone African countries, and it may be not the right time for France to get to re-engage there. Maybe the United States could do that. And in fact, I think the Malians would be responsive to that as well. But the United States would have to come in not with the view of saying, well, you've got to stop talking to the Russians, you've got to stop talking to the Chinese and the like. It's got to come in and say, look, we're just interested in a stable West Africa. What can we do to help? And that might get things moving. Certainly, there will be Russian and Chinese communist opposition to that, but the United States is the one power that could give that a real try, possibly the British. Certainly, the British could be doing more in Sierra Leone, but that's a very difficult nut to crack right now.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. For some weeks now, because the news has been overwhelming and Gregory's been on the road, we've not done a proper King Charles report. Our favorite moment of the week, that's next. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
4th of July deals are on at Lowe's. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances, including the Samsung Bespoke French Door Refrigerator, featuring Beverage Center and Dual Ice Maker. Plus, when you buy more, you save more. Now's the perfect time to upgrade your home with top Samsung appliances and hot 4th of July savings at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
Ugh. Spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine. Discounts. Appointments. Online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions. No more stress. Stay connected. Stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.